Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay with me. It's going to be 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, but no manipulation, because we don't have any hidden agendas. As we say every Sunday, we're not here to sell you anything. We're not here to recruit you to go anywhere. We're not going to ask you to do anything, to give it up, anything like that. We're just going to ask you to listen. Listen very carefully as I give you some accurate information. Not any human speculation, but accurate information from the canon of Scripture or the Bible, the Word of God. That's right, it's a talk show about the Bible, but maybe not like you've heard before, because this is not a dialogue. It's simply a monologue. It's just me talking to you. And if you will listen, I promise you, you will be able to verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you want to orient and adjust to the plan, if you haven't already done so, well, you have the freedom and the privacy to do that. You are an American. You're a free American. Thank God for that. So listen up for the next few minutes, because we're going to talk about a subject that's on everyone's mind this time of year. A very critical subject. I think you're going to enjoy what we have to say this morning, because we're going to talk about money. No, I'm not raising money. No, I'm not going to ask you for any money. We're going to talk about money today. See, as the Christmas season approaches, everyone begins to think about buying and receiving gifts and the cost associated with such things like this. And you know, like me, all those major retailers are trying to score big sales during the Thanksgiving to Christmas season, Black Friday and Red Monday and Yellow Tuesday. And good grief, I've never seen so many ads and emails coming to me of somebody trying to get me to purchase something. I mean, every day investors are watching the stock market. Consumers are watching the oil prices. And they're watching the grocery store prices as well. At least my wife does. And the big thing on the mind of each of us is money. Do we have enough money? Will we lose our investments? Will we make money in our investments? Will we be able to get by with the money that we have? You know, with the new administration focusing on health care, many small businesses have threatened to lay off workers due to rising cost of insurance. And people who receive entitlements, they want to make sure they continue to get what they need to survive. And then the older generation, the ones the government just hopes are going to die off so they can save a few bucks, well, they continue to draw their well-earned Social Security and their government-forced Medicare. But is the United States going to go broke? That's the question on everyone's mind. Talk about the lower credit rates and how the United States is behind and what the deficit is and who we owe money to. Are we going to go broke? And what about you? You personally, and me, will we have what we need to survive? These kind of questions lead to a study of two things, a study of money and the study of something called logistical grace provisions. Logistical grace provisions. As we go through this today, these are tremendous problem-solving devices. Understanding your logistical grace provisions and using what's called problem-solving device number 3, the faith rest drill, then you can relax even in the face of adversity. Let's start with the money. Let's start there first. That's where everyone wants to go. Go to the money, okay? In Matthew 6:19, these are the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Quoting now, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." These verses teach us an amazing concept, an important concept. And that is that amassing large sums of money can actually be a distraction to your spiritual life. Do you hear me? Amassing large sums of money can actually be a distraction to your spiritual life. Our Lord is not condemning wealth. That's not what he's doing here. But he's simply warning that money should never be the priority number one goal in your life. That's not the goal of the believer. The goal of the believer is to glorify God with every thought, action, and decision in his life. So the simple point that our Lord is making through all of this is do not ignore your spiritual life in favor of a wealthy life. I was speaking recently, and I remember someone telling me, I don't want any treasures in heaven. I just love the Lord, and I want to serve the Lord, and I don't need any rewards. Well, according to this verse, Jesus mandates that we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven are the blessings that God bestows upon winner believers, believers that actually grow to spiritual maturity and glorify God to the maximum. They're distributed in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 16, and they're called gold, silver, and precious stones. There are some phenomenal assets for winner believers, mature believers who glorify God to the max. And there's a phenomenal thing for believers that never glorify God. It's called eternal life. They will be in heaven, and they will be face to face with the Lord, and there will never be any more sorrow or tears or pain, and the old things will be passed away. But they won't have the rewards and the blessings that other winner believers will possess. And that's why the Lord gives this mandate here. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. So he's not condemning wealth, but he's warning that money should never be the priority number one goal in your life. Now, one of the key indicators, and you can see this in America as I read this to you, one of the key indicators of God's discipline, even on a client nation such as us, is the removal of the wealth of that nation. And we are a client nation for God. God uses client nations, and we represent him to the world. America sends out missionaries all over the world. America is a haven for the Jew. America is a protector of the Word of God, and we teach and preach the Word of God. We have been a client nation for many years now, the nation through which God distributes his Word to the world. And as such, he has blessed us and prospered us. And when he intends to discipline us, the way that he will do it is to remove our wealth. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 28 and read something that Moses said. And these were promises made to client nation Israel. But keep in mind that God is immutable. He never changes. So the principles that were taught there are still true today to any client nation. So listen to Deuteronomy 28:1. Carefully obey the Lord and faithfully follow all of his commandments that I'm giving you today. By the way, I'm reading this from what's called God's Word Translation. That's a translation of the Bible, a modified, expanded translation called God's Word Translation. Again, carefully obey the Lord and faithfully follow all of his commandments that I'm giving you today. If you do, the Lord your God will place you high above all other nations in the world. These are all the blessings that will come to you and stay close to you because you obey the Lord your God. And now Moses began to list the blessings. Verse 3, Deuteronomy 28, you will be blessed in your city and in the country. Verse 4, you will have children. Your land will have crops. Your animals will have offsprings. Verse 5, the grain you harvest and the bread you bake will be blessed. Verse 6, you will be blessed when you come and you'll be blessed when you go. Verse 7, the Lord will defeat your enemies when they attack you. Verse 8, the Lord will bless your barns and everything you do. Verse 12, the Lord will open up the heavens, his rich storehouse, for you. He will send rain on your land at the right time, and he will bless everything you do. You will be able to make loans to many nations, but you will not need to borrow from any. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom, if you faithfully obey the mandates of the Lord your God. Now that's a national challenge that Moses gave to Israel. But that can also be a personal challenge to us as well. And if we look at this in terms of Client Nation USA, we are not at the top, folks. We're getting down towards the bottom. And when this verse says we won't have to borrow money from anyone, well, we're living on borrowed money today. The national debt is so large that no one could even fathom how we're going to pay it back. So these promises that Moses made, those principles are still true today. So if we have loss of national wealth, then it's a sure sign of national discipline on a rebellious people who've been blessed in the past, but due to prosperity have become arrogant and strayed away from the plan of God. And as far as you and I go, individual believers, true wealth is the accumulation of divine good production. True wealth is the accumulation of divine good production. Now, let me explain. Divine good and human good are two different terms. Divine good is when you do the right thing in the right way, and human good is when you do the right thing in the wrong way. In 1 Corinthians 3, one is called wood, hay, and stubble. The other is called gold, silver, and precious stones. They can be the same deed, but if they're done in a different way, they're no good. So remember that the protocol plan of God requires a right thing be done in a right way. And here's the simple example. Prayer, it is never wrong to pray. We should always pray. But the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We know the Bible mandates us not to grieve the Spirit and not to quench the Spirit. And we know that the Spirit is supposed to be the one who intercedes for us in prayer, Romans 8. So if I have quenched and grieved the Holy Spirit and I'm praying, my prayer is not going to be answered because I have unconfessed sin in my life. So I'm doing a right thing, prayer, but I'm doing it in a wrong way. And so it's nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. It doesn't glorify God to the max. The Lord is not opposed to you being wealthy, nor has he glorified poverty. That's not what he did in this passage here. He simply set the priorities straight in Matthew 6. You know, 1 Timothy 6 says this, verse 10, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greed and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, it didn't say that money, it said the love of money. Priority number one, money. If that's the number one priority in your life, making money, getting money, having money, accumulating wealth, if that's priority number one in your life, you have the wrong priority, because it can lead to compromise, it can lead to evil, and it can get you in a serious jam in a real big, quick sort of way. I mean, listen. Money is necessary for the function of an economy, so it's not wrong and it's not sinful for a Christian to possess money, even in large amounts. It can be a wonderful slave, or it can be a cruel master. And the principle that Jesus, our Lord, wants you to remember is for you never to be a slave to money. Interestingly enough, here's something that money cannot buy. It cannot buy salvation. Money cannot buy love. Money cannot buy happiness or security. Someone once asked Elvis Presley, after he had made millions, "Are you happy?" And the response that Elvis gave was indeed amazing, because the king of rock and roll said, "No, I'm lonely as hell." Money does not cure loneliness. Fame, fortune, and riches have a way of making you lonely, because there are not many people that you get to hang out with. So, in Luke 12:15, and he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses." Those are the words of our Lord. So, money's necessary for the function of an economy. And it's not wrong, it's not sinful for you to possess money. It can be a wonderful slave or a cruel master, but don't become a slave to money. In Luke 12:16, here we have the Lord speaking a parable. He spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build bigger barns, and I will store all of my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, you have goods laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat and drink and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'You are a fool, because this night your soul will be required of you. And then whose will these be which you have provided? And so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" In spite of how much money you may have today, how much money you may expect to get, it's all borrowed money. You cannot take it with you. You won't have any pockets in that casket to take your money with you. And so you have to remember that. If you want to be truly rich, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. That simply means that you live the Christian life till its fullest extent, that you glorify God to the fullest extent, and then you will hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 16, you will find a lot of gold, a lot of silver, a lot of precious stones, all representative of your divine good production and the rewards that God the Father will have for you in eternity future. So, remember that. If the Lord is your number one priority in your life, then you can enjoy money. You can enjoy money, and you can have the capacity for wealth and use it for his service. But listen to the words of Jesus again. "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you." Then those who will those things, which, in other words, then whose will those things be which you have provided? And our Lord rounded it out in verse 21 by saying this in Luke 12. "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." If you're a believer, you want to be wealthy with God. You want to have treasure in heaven. But if you're a believer and you're out of fellowship with God, you're always going to be miserable. Doesn't make any difference if you have a lot of money or no money. You're going to be miserable if you're out of fellowship with God, because you're going to be under divine discipline. You're going to be under conviction, and God will deal with you. The Bible says those that he loves, he chastens and he scourges with a whip. So if you're a believer out of fellowship, it doesn't make any difference how much money you have. You're not going to be happy. You know, one of the dangers of wealth is having an arrogant attitude. You know, unrealistic expectations of how people should treat you. So you're wealthy and you have a lot of money and you want everybody to step aside when you enter the room and you want people to kowtow to your opinion. And see, that's wrong. Having money does not make you superior to other people. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:19, "It's better to be humble with the lowly people than to share the stolen goods with arrogant folks." One of the reasons our Lord got into this discussion in Matthew 6 was because the Pharisees were fully frantic about him having dinner with a tax collector and some publicans and prostitutes. And they would not even dream of eating with people like this. And our Lord made it very clear where their problem was in their own arrogance. One of the simple truths is this: that very often people that are rich are just poor people that have money. In Mark 8:36, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and then loses his own soul?" And this is the danger of having wealth, because it can keep a person from seeing their need for salvation. In 1 Peter 1:18, the Bible says this: "Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb who has no spot and no blemishes." And here's the principle of that verse: that money has no credit with God at the great white throne of judgment. The great white throne of judgment is where all unbelievers are evaluated based on two things. Number one is their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the obvious answer is no, it's not. Secondly, what about the books of works? Plural, books of works. Do their works equal the perfect righteousness of God? And if they do, then they will be allowed into heaven. But the Bible already forewarns us and says, there are none that are righteous. No, not even one. And so there's no way that anyone at the great white throne of judgment is going to be able to appease the justice of God apart from having Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not even be at the great white throne of judgment. You'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 at the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, where your rewards will be issued and given out. So let's get this straight. Lust for money can destroy the right priorities for life. James 4:13, don't kid me, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city and we will work in that place for a year's time and we shall both transact business and make a profit. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're just a vapor trail in the sky, visible for a short time, and then you die or you vanish away. There are warnings to believers about money in the Bible. The danger of money. Nothing wrong with it. It's not a sin to have money. It is a sin to be a slave to money. It is a sin to let money control you to where you compromise your integrity. But the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, let your lifestyle be free from the love of money. Keep on being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You see, on one hand, your Heavenly Father knows every need that you have. And he will always see to it that your needs are provided by means of divine logistics. Divine logistics. Logistics is simply a military term that's used to describe the resupplying of the troops who are in the field. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, the Bible says this, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Principle, your Heavenly Father will provide everything necessary for your life support and for blessing, and he will guarantee that you have equal privilege and equal opportunity to execute his plan and glorify his name. That's what logistics does for you. It keeps you alive. Logistics gives you gravity. Logistics gives you oxygen. Logistics gives you food. Logistics gives you whatever you need physically to survive and whatever you need spiritually to advance. It's all included in the logistics of grace. So you're not going to be blessed because of what you've done for God. On the contrary, you'll be blessed because of what God is doing for you. It's called the policy of grace. And the reason that you qualify to receive this grace is because the perfect righteousness of Christ resides in you. You have equal righteousness. The Bible says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we might have the righteousness of Christ through him. That's the reason you have these blessings. It's because the perfect righteousness of God has been given to you. On the cross, it was a trade-out. He took your sin, but he gave you his righteousness. So that when God the Father looks at you, if you have indeed received Jesus Christ as your Savior, when God the Father looks at you, he sees his Son. And thus the grace pipeline can open up, and down comes all sorts of blessings. You're qualified to receive those blessings because you have Christ. Christ in you. So the bottom line is this, it's impossible, literally impossible, for anyone who has imputed divine righteousness to them, the righteousness of Christ, it's impossible for them to lack anything, because the justice of God will always send life support and will always send blessing to all of his children, all believers, those who are mature, those who are growing, and even those who are stalled out and not growing. So as long as you live on this planet, logistical grace will pursue you. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. All of your needs are the logistical grace support systems you need to survive. The riches refers to the virtue of God. God never runs out of virtue. Riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The testimony from our Lord that was addressed to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said this, then he assured me, my grace has been and still is sufficient for you, for the power is achieved with weakness, and therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness in order that the power of Christ may reside in me. This is Paul talking about the thorn in his flesh, asking God to take it away. And God said, no, my logistical grace blessings are enough, and it will handle it if you will use the faith rest drill. So we'll wrap up today with a phenomenal verse in the faith rest drill. This I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. It is through the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. That is the faithfulness of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, to us, his children. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.